The psalm that I want to read and meditate upon this evening, the psalm 107, is a psalm most relevant to our circumstances. It was a psalm that was brought to prominence during a previous outbreak of plague in our nation, and it became the subject of a reformer's sermon that brought comfort and relief to many during the time of that plague. The psalm is lengthy, and I encourage you to read it at your leisure. And as you do so, notice the verses that are repeated. Verse number 6 and verse number 8, then verse 13 and 15, verse 19, verse 21, and then verse 28 and 31. They contain the same words repeated on four separate occasions in the psalm. I want to read from verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. The reformer I referred to was George Wishart, the Scottish reformer of the 16th century, whose preaching of the rediscovered truth of the gospel at that time set Scotland ablaze. Indeed, he was instrumental in the conversion of John Knox and the subsequent work of reformation that Knox would undertake. It was Knox who recorded the incident that I want to share with you just now. It centred in the city of Dundee, north of Edinburgh, where Wishart had attempted to preach the gospel, seeking to teach the people from Paul's letter to the Romans, expounding the great doctrine of justification, how a man is made just before God, how a sinner is made righteous in God's eyes only through the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus, received by faith alone, without the addition of any human work or human merit. That was the theme of Wishart's preaching, until the cardinal, Robert Mill, forced him out of the city. He was banned. He was excluded. He was exiled. And as Wishart prepared to leave the city, he said the following, as Knox records in his history: God is witness that I never minded your trouble, but your comfort. Yea, your trouble is more dolorous unto me than it is unto yourselves. But I am assured that the refusal of God's word and the chasing from you of his messenger shall not preserve you from trouble. It shall bring you into it. God shall send on to you messengers who will not be afraid of horning, and nor yet of banishment. I have offered unto you the word of salvation, and at the hazard of my life I have remained amongst you. Now ye yourselves refuse me, and therefore must I leave my innocency to be declared by my God. If it be long prosperous with you, I am not led by the Spirit of truth. But if trouble, unlooked for, apprehend you, ye do acknowledge the cause, and turn to God, for he is merciful. If ye turn not at the first, he shall visit you with fire and sword. These words he pronounced as he left his place of preaching and departed the city. Wishart was banished. He headed westward, preaching the gospel, and within 4 days of his departure, a plague of pestilence broke out in the city of Dundee, and many were slain by it. Wishart resolved to return to Dundee, but his companions entreated him to refrain from such an undertaking, but they did not prevail. Wishart said to them, "They are in trouble, and they need comfort. Perhaps this hand of God will make them now to magnify and reverence that word, which before, for the fear of men, they set at light price." He made his way to Dundee, and when he eventually arrived in the city, he gave indication of his desire to preach. He chose the east port of the town. Those who were well and whole stood within the port. The many who had been struck down by sickness or who were suspected of being infected with the plague were outside, on the other side of the port. Wishart stood between the two. Quite literally, he stood between the living and the dying. He opened this psalm, Psalm 107, and he took verse 20 as his text. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." He preached to the people from these words. He declared to them, "It is neither herb nor plaster, O Lord, but thy word healeth all." He outlined the dignity of God's word. He outlined the punishment that comes upon the contempt of God's word. But he also outlined the promptitude of God's mercy to such as truly turn to him and call upon his name, and the happiness of those whom God takes from this misery, those who have called upon his name, even when death comes, to them there is true happiness, there is the entering in to the presence of God. The effect of the sermon was tremendous, powerful. It raised the hearts of the people beyond the consideration of their affliction, beyond the consideration of their death. And the gospel of saving grace that previously they rejected and drove Wishart from their midst, banning him from its proclamation, that very gospel they received with great gladness of heart. In the days that followed, Wishart visited the people, comforted the sick and the dying, sought to relieve the needs of the poor, and he proclaimed the message of salvation. Eventually, the plague dissipated, and when it did, Wishart left the city to preach the gospel in other parts. It was this psalm that became the divine means that brought deliverance to the afflicted in Dundee. It is a psalm for all who are at their wits' end. The passage that we read at the beginning speaks of that very place. Verse 27, "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end." At their wits' end. The psalm sets out two distinct truths. It sets out in the first place the distress that fallen man is subjected to. And secondly, the deliverance that is promised and offered in the gospel of saving grace. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Wits End is a place of great distress. It's the place of despair. When trouble comes and we do not know what to do, we do not know where to turn, we are faced with our weakness, we are faced with our infirmity, we are confronted with our helplessness, and we sink in despair. The psalmist sketches the scene of the ship on the great waters. The storm comes, it's tossed by the tempest. It is surrounded by mountainous waves, and all ability to control the vessel in the midst of the storm is gone. And men are brought to their wits' end. They have no ability to overcome it. They have no ability to sort it out. They are at the mercy of waves, which by their very nature are merciless. The psalmist describes the condition of this location, Wits End. But he also acknowledges the hand of God in the storm. It is God who brings men to this place, Wits End. Verse 25, he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. When man has lost control, when the circumstances overwhelm him, God is still in control. The storm that brings man to wit's end is designed to show us that we were not in control to begin with. Oh yes, man likes to think that he's in control. That's why he can live without God. That's why he can neglect God. That's why he can leave God out of his life, because he thinks that he is in control until God brings him to wit's end. To the end of himself, to the end of his own resources, to the end of his own knowledge and his own wisdom, to an end of his own strength and his own ability. The psalmist acknowledged the hand of God. There are many storms that God permits to rise up, and they are sent in order to bring us to this place where we recognize and acknowledge that we are not in control. This great virus that has swept across the face of the earth, that has paralyzed the strongest, the mightiest of nations, that has brought countries to a standstill, gridlock, fear has taken hold. Panic is the order of the day. This great virus has brought us to that place, to wit's end. The great wave is coming. It's a great tsunami. And men don't know what to do, and they don't know where to turn. But the psalmist has the answer. They are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He speaks of deliverance in the midst of distress. deliverance in the time of despair, deliverance at wit's end. He bringeth them out of their distresses. Verse 29 says, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Those waves that are rolling ever closer, gaining momentum, rising in height, towering above the vessel, threatening to engulf and to destroy. He has but to speak, and those waves become calm and still. And only He can do it. Only the Lord can bring great calm in the midst of the storm. He bringeth them out of their distresses. And He does so when men cry to Him. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. They are brought to that point where they realize we are not in control. There is one greater than us. He is our Maker. He is our Creator. We have neglected Him. We have despised Him. But we need Him. Then they cry on to the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. George Wishart, in his sermon, told the people that there is a plague greater than the one from which they were suffering. It is the plague of sin. It is the plague of plagues. Sin itself. It is sin that brings this misery. It is sin that brings this suffering. It is sin that brings death, that brings judgment, that brings hell. And sin is the transgression of God's law. It is a plague beyond us. A plague that brings us to wit's end, where we simply don't know how to deal with this, or where to turn. But the Lord can deliver us, and He will deliver us when we cry to Him. This is His promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The pressing need in this time of crisis facing our country, when we have forsaken God and despised His word and trampled His law under our feet, we are now at wit's end, and our pressing need is to cry to God, to call upon Him for His deliverance. That's the need. That's what should be done first and foremost by the leaders of this nation and by the people of this nation. We must cry to Him. And when that plague came upon the city of Dundee, Wishart impressed upon the people with great earnestness that they should turn to the Lord and call upon His name. And they did so. And the plague began to loosen its grip, and eventually the city was delivered. That is our great need. But our even greater need is eternal. Eternal redemption, eternal salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God. And for that we must cry unto Him. We must call upon His name. Lord, have mercy. The publican in the temple, standing at the back, would not so much as lift his head to heaven, smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord heard that simple but sincere, genuine, earnest cry of that man's heart, and the Lord saved him. What a great psalm this is, most relevant to the present circumstances in which we find ourselves, but even more relevant to the great spiritual and eternal need of the soul of every man and woman. They are at their wits' end. Then they cry on to the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. And if this message should reach the ear of a man, a woman, a young person who finds themselves at wits' end, this is God's word to you. Remember this when you have lost all control, when you are brought to the place where you realize you're not in control and these waves are mounting above you. Remember that there is one who is in control. There is one who can calm the storm, who can bring great stillness to your heart. Cry to him. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah, the Eternal One, the same yesterday and today and forever. Call on to him, and he will bring you out of your distress. This is his promise. This is his word. May you take him at his word. May the Lord bless his word to every heart. Amen.